Welcome back to the third installment of Freedom Talks podcast. This is episode number 3, the Allen Iverson episode, The Answer, one of the greatest NBA players of all time. So I have with me today my buddy Tyler.
How are you guys?
We are really excited about a couple of things that we're going to be talking about today, things that we've talked about on the regular really since we've been in the Army. Tyler and I went to tech school together, AIT. We're really excited to share some things with you. And we're going to start out talking about leadership. We don't want this to turn into a bashing session by any means, but we are going to address bad leadership kind of hopefully in the right context with the right spirit. Just out of the gate, Tyler, what are some initial thoughts that you have on how to deal with bad leadership?
I think a few big things are that we have to respect our leaders above us.
Definitely.
So with bad leadership, good leadership, whatever it is, we have to keep in mind that they are above us and we can't disrespect them, their rank, name, whatever it may have you.
Yeah, so that's definitely something to keep in mind. We got to respect the position. As soldiers in the Army, we always have to keep in mind that the President of the United States is our commander-in-chief, and we are supposed to honor and respect him regardless of what we might think or feel about what he's doing. I'm going to refrain from any political comments at this point, but we're really not supposed to comment or have any kind of slant in any kind of official capacity. Of course, we're encouraged to have political opinions, we're encouraged to vote, but you have to be really careful about how you voice those things. So in the same way that we are to respect the President of the United States and really anybody in politics because of their position, we're supposed to respect leaders that are over us at any level of our chain of command. Another point that I wanted to make here is that we are all leaders. We need to help where we can. If we have an instance where we have a bad leader over us, we just need to try to help them in any way that we can. So then if they refuse our help, we really just have to nod, say, yes, Sergeant, and just move on with life and not let us get down on us too much. So that's kind of a way that I deal with that, is just try to help where we can.
Yeah, I would have to agree. And a really hard part for me is wearing my emotions on my sleeve at all times.
So I do that too.
When they don't accept what I have to say, or they disrespect me, or I feel disrespected, it's really hard for me to keep my nerves and emotions down. But I have learned, and I'm still learning, will always be learning, to do that better and better. So,
yeah, that's good. So something to keep in mind with that is that you can only control you. You can't control other people, what they do, how they act, what they say. So just make sure that you are above board. And I say that just in a general sense of you. Make sure that you're above reproach in the way that you're conducting yourself and the way that you carry yourself. And just do your best to remain professional no matter what others are doing. So one instance in which that can be difficult is when leaders are using their position for their own benefit. In the Army, in the NCO creed, that is specifically mentioned as something that you're not supposed to do. Unfortunately, it still happens. A specific instance that Tyler and I have been talking out, we're not going to go into too much detail, but where others have been excluded unfairly, so that these leaders can include their friends in a particular activity or event or whatever the case may be. So do you have anything to say to that?
No, I mean, yeah, like you were saying, it's unfair to us, especially as junior enlisted soldiers. Like, we're not having an opportunity to partake in whatever it may be just because they already have their set friends or their set acquaintances or coworkers that they like and know can do things. So they're not giving opportunities to newer soldiers, junior soldiers, or whatever it has.
Yeah, so you can see how junior enlisted soldiers can become very frustrated in those types of situations where some leaders, in this case, non-commissioned officers in the Army, are using their position for their own benefit. So that's definitely not a good quality of a leader. Another thing that I wanted to address is just poor leadership versus toxic leadership, where poor leadership is just basically a failure in organization or in communication. And we certainly see that a lot. I don't mean to be cynical, but there is lots of breakdown in communication in the unit that Tyler and I are in, and it is extremely frustrating. I'm acting in a team leader capacity at this point, and so I'm pretty much at the very bottom of the chain. I serve as the first line to a certain number of soldiers, just a few, and I often have to go back and clarify and seek clarification from higher because things have been put out that have been wrong, things that have been changed at the very last minute, and that can be really frustrating. So that's just an example of poor leadership and failure to organize, failure to communicate.
Yeah, like we were saying earlier, there is a huge difference between toxic leadership and poor leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Toxic being bad for the mission and bad for the people, but yeah, bad leadership, a big one that you were just talking about, communication, that goes a really far way in the military or not far, and that is what brings a lot of bad leadership into things. Just no one is communicating the right way, so.
Yeah, for sure. So then another thing with toxic leadership, it seems that those people are ones that are just, it seems like they go out of their way to be a jerk for no reason, and there's really just no place for that kind of leadership. We both agree that we struggle with wearing our emotions on our sleeve, and we both admit that we need to work on that. There's other leaders who have that same struggle that really seem to be making no effort to improve that. And when they're upset, maybe they are legitimately going through a tough time in their personal life, but that's not really an excuse to act out and lash out towards your subordinates. You have to, as a leader, remain steady and remain level-headed, and to give orders, to communicate events or whatever is going on in a clear manner that doesn't cut down or make it so that it seems like you're being rude towards your subordinates. So that's something that you definitely have to keep in mind as a leader, and something that leaders who are poor or toxic should improve on is just, you know, general basic human decency of treating others the way that you want to be treated.
Like another thing Ryan was saying earlier, just like that, we're all leaders. So we have to realize accountability, integrity, all this goes with both sides of these, the junior enlisted and the NCOs, with disrespecting people and stuff through the communication, just not listening or wearing your emotions on your sleeve. So integrity and just self-accountability for your actions is very, very huge.
I actually really love that word integrity. It's one that's really put out in the Army and throughout the military, but I think it's a word that a lot of people don't even fully understand what it means. I have researched this, and the math nerd in me really likes the word integrity, because within that word integrity, you have the word integer, which the meaning behind that is that it's both real and it's right. I really love that breakdown of the word integrity. Not only are you being completely honest with the people that you're dealing with, you're also maintaining the proper standard. So a lot of times people will take integrity and they'll mean one way or the other. They will be, oh, I'm real. You probably have heard people say that, where they're like, oh man, I'm just being real. And it's like an excuse for them to be a jerk. And there's really no place for that, like we've already said. Or they'll just throw the book at you and say, oh, this is the right thing to do. And they'll have like no real compassion in doing that. So you kind of have to have a balance of both to fully bring out integrity. And that is a great quality of a leader that we should all strive for. So that leads nicely into the last thing that we want to talk about leadership. We've hit on some bad qualities or qualities of a bad leader. So now we want to end this segment talking about some qualities of a good leader. So the first thing that I have noted that I really strive through in my sphere of influence whenever I'm talking about leadership is being a servant leader. And what that means is that you're embracing the suck together. Whenever you're doing a run, you're not just telling someone, go run 4 miles. You run it with them, and you run hard. And whatever it may be, more than just PT, just being in the fight together and letting them know that you're going to work hard. And whatever you expect other people to do, you're doing it right there with them. That's basically servant leadership. Another thing that we talked about was consistency. And with consistency, that's basically just treating everyone the same. Just because someone's a higher rank, or you might like that person a little more than the next person, doesn't mean that you give unequal treatment. Doesn't mean that they get the special award, or get to go to the special event, or whenever they're deserving of punishment, their offense just gets looked over because the person in charge likes that person. No, you're consistent. Everyone gets equal reward, equal punishment. Another thing, recognition. So recognizing the good in other people. A lot of times leaders tend to focus on the negative issues. They just get overwhelmed with the bad things that are happening, and that takes all their attention. But more than that, they need to be recognizing the good. And then beyond that, then once you recognize the good leaders that you have among you, then they delegate. And when they delegate, they're trusting others to get the job done. A good leader can't do everything himself, and he recognizes that. He recognizes that he needs other people to assist him in the mission. So he delegates. He gets others to help get the job done. Another thing that we discussed was the idea of vision casting, that you clearly communicate the expectations that you have for those that you have under you, and then you communicate what those expectations are, and those things are in the forefront. They're regularly communicated, and you are working together to achieve that vision.
Cool thing with the military, whoever's listening that's not in the military, or in the Army at least, we do things called counselings, monthly counselings, where our NCOs, our team leaders, squad leaders, whatever it has, they get to tell you that. They get to talk with you, sit down with you one-on-one. They get to tell you what they want for you in the next month or time frame that they give you. You get to go over the last month and see if you accomplish those goals, or if you need to work on them more, or all these different outcomes that you could have for a month. And it's cool that the team leaders get to sit down with you. You get to have this face-to-face interaction with them and see how you're doing, Army-wise, or you can go personal or school or sports, APFT, all kinds of things in these counseling. So it's a really good part of the Army.
In a lot of different fields that I've been in before I joined the military, that definitely wasn't there. You had your big boss that was over you, and you might have a shift leader, kind of a leader, but none of them were that involved in what you were doing. And just from my experience, maybe someone else has had better experiences with leadership outside the Army, but they didn't really take a personal investment in my life. The team leaders, squad leaders that I've been around genuinely care about what's going on in your life, and they want to help you to succeed, whether it's in your military career or in your civilian life. So that's really great to have a leader that cares. That's one of the biggest things that I learned when I was in college preparing to be a teacher, is just that a teacher is loving and caring. And just showing that you care goes such a long way with those that are under you. That will wrap up our segment talking about leadership. Hang around for this short break, and then we'll be right back with more show. Welcome back, guys. In this next segment of the Freedom Talks podcast, we're going to be talking about finances once again. If you were able to catch episode 2, I talked about holiday shopping and also briefly touched on how to deal with a bonus. So in this episode, we're going to be discussing credit cards. Many are familiar with the fact that I am a huge fan of Dave Ramsey, and Dave Ramsey just happens to be a huge opponent of credit cards. And even though I went through Financial Peace University as a high school student and did not open my first credit card until after college, I did open a credit card, and I currently hold about 3 or 4 credit cards. Obviously, I don't think they're evil, but there are definitely some pitfalls that we're going to be discussing, and there are some benefits as well. So we're going to be talking about some advantages. We're going to be talking about some specific cards that may be beneficial for you. We're going to be talking about rewards. So let's go ahead and get started talking about credit cards in this financial segment of the Freedom Talks podcast. So as I mentioned, I have 3 or 4 credit cards, 2 main ones that I use, and I don't have a problem telling you. I have a Chase Rapid Rewards Southwest card, and I have an American Express Everyday Cashback card. And a problem with these that I see right off the bat, just looking at my monthly statements, is they have a very high APR rate. And actually, for a credit card, they're not too bad. One of them more than the other one. But the interest on these things can kill you if you don't pay it off every month. The Chase one is at 17.49% on for purchase APR. The American Express one is at 22.49%. So that one's significantly higher. But those interest charges will kill you every month. And to me, it's quite depressing whenever I see I paid X number of dollars on my balance, and then it comes right back with you have this much interest charges on your balance. So that can really add up to a lot of money that's wasted on interest if you're not able to pay off your credit cards altogether. However, we're going to talk about, as was already alluded to, some advantages and some good things about credit cards. They're not all evil. One thing I want to bring up is rewards. There are some good rewards with some credit cards. I mentioned I have a Southwest card. The reason I have that is for the airline mileage rewards. I don't even use it that much, and I've gotten 3 free plane tickets from it, and I don't fly that much either, so it's pretty nice to have that reward. And it has, I should mention that it has a $99 annual fee. So maybe you say, well, you're already paying for it with that fee. But the plane ticket's more than $99. So it is a nice little incentive. And then with my American Express card, it's called Everyday Cash. And there are many, many gift cards that you can redeem for reward dollars that you rack up on that credit card. So there are some pretty good rewards for those cards that I have, and there's some others on some of the other cards that we'll be discussing later. So the next thing I want to talk about with credit cards is credit building. Some say that the idea of building credit is a myth, that it really isn't necessary to build your credit in order to live, but in fact, you do need to build your credit. It is something that's going to make your life easier if you're going to finance anything. In an ideal world that Dave Ramsey lives in, you pay cash for everything. But anyone that's lived into their 20s can tell you, I don't have the cash to buy a car. Maybe you do save and pay cash for a nice car, but you don't want to just buy a $2,000 junker that's not going to be reliable. So financing a car is a valid thing. Maybe a little bit later on, you decide that you want to finance a house, that you want to take out a mortgage. I don't think anybody's got $200,000 sitting in their back pocket ready to pay cash for a house. So financing is necessary in those instances. And it is definitely going to make your life easier if you have good credit.
One of my personal stories, well, me and Ryan were a good fellow. We were about to graduate, and I found out my little brother that was borrowing my car totaled it. So at that point, I knew I had to buy a new car. So my first thought was to go to USAA because a lot of people use it. Good reviews I've heard. And I was asking for a $20,000 loan from them with a 730, 720 credit score, pretty decent history, and they wouldn't give it to me, which was wild to me. But they gave my brother, because he's an officer, a $50,000 loan, which made no sense to me. But after that, I went back home and went to my local bank and asked for the same loan, and they gave it to me with the lowest APR they had because my credit was perfectly fine.
Nice.
So just a story of interest rates and how credit does affect a lot.
Oh, yeah. Let's go ahead and talk about some pitfalls with credit cards. Some things that you should try to avoid. We mentioned rewards and the fact that there are some good rewards. We'll talk about some more in a minute with one specific card. But if you're just shooting to get reward dollars, that's really not a good way to approach it. And some people get caught up in that. It's kind of the same idea I think I might have mentioned in the last episode about like Kohl's cash. You don't spend money to save money. That's not how you should approach things. Just be smart about it and don't go overboard in trying to get rewards. Use the card for what you need it for. Build your credit, but don't just go crazy with those reward systems. Another thing that I thought of with pitfalls is just what I call abusing your limit. So if you have, say you have a $1,000 limit on a credit card, that means you shouldn't go up toward that limit every month. Likely, if you have a $1,000 limit, you're not going to need $1,000 worth of goods from that store or whatever it's for every month. So just because it's there doesn't mean that you should use it all. Even if you're able to pay off that amount, just be smart about it. Don't just spend money because the credit bureau has approved you for that much money. Don't tread towards the top of your credit limit with whatever card that you have. Just be smart about how you're using your card. So with all that said about negative things you can run into with credit cards, what's the path that you recommend, Tyler, for, say, a younger junior enlisted soldier who's looking to build his credit?
So when I was at basic, I told Ryan a story. I was there for a long time, but I got some weekend passes during the long time I was there. And one of my drill sergeants and I had to sit down and talk about building credit. And I, at that point, had no credit, didn't know where to start, didn't know what I was doing. And I was 23 years old. Not having credit was almost embarrassing at that point. And we went to the BX with a few people. And my drill sergeant, female type, sat me down and we talked about the Military Star Card, which is, I think a lot of people have very bad thoughts on it, but she talked to me and told me the benefits and pros and cons of it and stuff, and talked about being mature with money and stuff. So we looked at it, and I looked at a bunch of different benefits that the stuff gives you. And that is for junior enlisted soldiers stuck on base, I guess you could say, like don't have cars or
in the barracks.
It's a decent credit card with a reasonable APR. I think it's at 17.3% or 4%, which it's high when you think about it, but it's reasonable in a credit card. And it also has benefits like if you're getting gas on base for people with cars in the barracks, you get 5 cents off each gallon. If you go to the food court or buy any food on base, you get a 10% discount every time. And also they have a second part of the credit card where if you go to military clothing and sales, which soldiers know that you need uniforms all the time, you need different parts of uniforms, whatever it is, and they have a $500 limit with no interest rate when you buy those clothes. So that is a really, really cool incentive for soldiers or junior enlisted people that need uniform stuff.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And those incentives that you mentioned, specifically the discount on gas and food, that's stuff you're going to be buying anyways. So if you're going to be buying that all the time anyways, why not take advantage of the discount? You're going to be buying that anyway. If you have a plan and you are using the card in a way that's smart and you have a plan to pay off at the end of the month, I really think that is a good way to go. So basically, what I would recommend to somebody, just for sake of example, a 19-year-old PFC in the Army that's trying to build his credit, his or her credit, get one card, maybe the Star Card, at a low interest rate, take advantage of the benefits, and just make sure you pay it off every month. If you are trying to build your credit, I think this is a good way to go. It's just really not embracing reality if you just say, oh, I don't care about my credit. There are options if we're talking about a mortgage loan. VA loans can work if you have, if you're in the military and you don't have credit, but it's really not the best option. You're going to have just better success if you already have good established credit. If you're not in the military, a FAH loan can also be an option for you if you don't have established credit history. But once again, you're going to be having a higher rate. You're probably going to be required to have a higher down payment. Life just goes better if you have some credit history. I just think it's kind of foolish to say, oh, I'm just going to completely avoid credit. The society that we live in is just kind of geared towards you really need to have credit. So we all make financial mistakes. Don't beat yourself up if you get yourself in a little bit of credit card debt. It's not the end of the world. I'm not going to say everybody does it. Avoid it if you can. I wish I would have been a little bit smarter with the credit cards that I had when I was younger. I am just about completely out of credit card debt after having racked up a decent amount. All I've got left right now is the car that I just purchased in June. It's the only debt that I have right now. I'm renting, so I'm not paying on a mortgage at this point. It all comes back to just living within your means and just being smart with your money. So hopefully that's a help to those that are seeking to better themselves financially and specifically dealing with credit cards. Welcome back, guys. And for the final segment of this installment of the Freedom Talks podcast, we are going to be talking about a personal issue that I dealt with recently after the Thanksgiving holiday, and something that I think might be a help and encouragement to some of my listeners. So on the week following Thanksgiving, I felt extremely overworked and just completely tired and weary, and I had eaten really terrible following Thanksgiving and was just feeling like trash that whole week. I had a research paper due that I stayed up late to turn in, and I know there's a lot of people who operate on little sleep, but just having a lack of sleep consistently just was not good. All these things compounded. I had some personal issues that I was dealing with as well. And all of these things just added up. And on the Thursday after Thanksgiving, I woke up with a migraine headache. And these are not, I don't normally get migraine headaches. I think this is the third or fourth one I've ever had in my whole life. But if you've ever had a migraine headache, it is really debilitating. They kind of vary in their symptoms, just depending on the person. But for me, it's just a throbbing headache worse than a normal one. It hurts to stand up or move, really. I'm extremely light sensitive whenever I have a migraine and have a hard time seeing, and it's just really terrible. Also, nausea is often connected with it, so just not a fun time at all. I decided on that Thursday morning, having woken up very early for Army PT, decided, oh, I need to go be with my team and I need to conduct PT even though I feel terrible. I'm just going to push my way through this and I'll be fine. Well, it turned out we were doing swim PT that morning. I did one lap and then I just realized this ain't happening. So I told my squad leader that it just wasn't going to work out for me to do PT. I needed to take a break. I needed to probably go get some medicine to deal with a migraine. I had taken some ibuprofen, but that wasn't doing it. After about a 30-minute shower, I went and got some migraine medicine, and thankfully that helped a lot. Following that, I did go into work after that, still in pain. But as I said, the migraine medicine did take effect about an hour after I took it. And thankfully, I was able to get through the rest of the day. But towards the end of my workday, one of my superiors had overheard some things that I had said about my day being in pain and dealing with a migraine. And he had heard me talk about some personal things that I was dealing with as well. And he just pulled me aside and asked me how I was doing. And he shared with me that he had, in his time in the military, I think he's been in for 12 or 13 years, he's had two different breakdowns. And just, he's the opposite of what me and Tyler discussed as far as wearing our emotions on our sleeves. He's one that just pins everything up inside and never really expresses any frustrations or nerves or anything like that. He just keeps it all inside. He has had two different instances where he's just had a total mental breakdown. And that's obviously not a good place to be. So how do you avoid that? That's what we discussed together. And we talked a lot about self-care. And this is a topic that's really interesting. And it's one that among Christian circles is unfortunately kind of frowned upon. I don't really personally understand that, the idea that self-care is not biblical because you're supposed to be focused on others. True. However, you can't pour into others from an empty glass. It just doesn't work. There's a reason why when you're on an airplane and they're talking emergency procedures, you're supposed to put the oxygen mask on yourself before you help others. If you're dead, it doesn't do any good to help others, obviously. So you can't pour into others from an empty glass. You have to take time to rest, to relax, to refresh on a regular basis. I heard this interval one time that I thought was interesting, that maybe isn't always practical, but is a good rule of thumb. Here's what I heard on what you should do in terms of rest and refreshment. You should take 1 hour a night at least. You should take 1 weekend a month, and you should take 1 week a season. And that's not always doable, but that's something that you should shoot for. You should make rest a priority in your life. That's not to say you should hit the snooze button all the time and you should make sleep your number one thing, but sleep should be important in your life. You need rest. You need the proper amount of rest in order to function properly. And I just really wanted to point out and put out there, don't just army strong your way through life. You can't just say, I'm going to power through this, whatever mental or physical things that you're dealing with, and just push through it. You're going to burn out. You might get to that point that I talked about with my coworker, with the point of a mental breakdown. I hope you never get there. I'll admit I've been at the point of depression a few different points in my life, and that's just not a good place to be. And there are a number of factors that got me to that point, but I can definitely say that I was not taking care of myself during those times. So self-care is definitely something that we should prioritize. We shouldn't feel bad about self-care, and it's something that we should make a priority in our lives.
One big thing I've noticed, military, from being in the outside of the military, I don't know what everybody knows about it, but we're working 5 days a week, and those hours can be strenuous sometimes. From waking up really early for people that live off base and traffic to get on base to get it to PT. So we're working, some people work from 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning until 5 o'clock at night, and it's every day without your family. You're doing jobs that most people aren't doing, and it's just like very mentally disabling. So we do have to take a break a lot of the time. Even I don't realize that sometimes, how exhausted I am and like why I'm so exhausted, but you sit back and relax, and you're like, wow, I really needed that hour or two just to sit down and do nothing. A funny story after Thanksgiving with me as well. A lot of personal stuff went down, and it was just a really exhausting 4 days, Thursday through Sunday. And I was not mentally good. I was physically tired. It was just bad. And Monday rolled around, didn't feel good at PT. And my leadership knew. I told them I didn't feel good. So good leadership, this rolls around again. When they notice their soldiers aren't doing well, I know personally my leaders, they tell me, hey, take it off. Take some time off PT or go get some rest. Like, And that's when you become an NCO, that should be something you're paying attention to, your soldiers. But back to the story. After PT, I went and got changed, got dressed for the day, got in uniform, and went to work. And it was not a good day. And when I did, I got in at like 8 o'clock, and I was sitting around trying to start doing work and had a headache, wasn't feeling good. My stomach didn't feel good just from being stressed out and mentally tired. And I waited for my leadership to get to work so I could talk to them. And about 9 o'clock rolled around and no one showed up yet because they were just all having sluggish mornings. So I took it upon myself, which I shouldn't have done, but I left work and just went home, went to sleep. And I got in trouble for it, got counseled, but overall it was what I needed. I had to go. Like, I could not be at work that day. And when I talked to my leadership and I got my counseling, they understood, but there are reprimands for what you do, so I got it, and now it's all good. But I definitely needed that time just to go rest and sit down after a long, hard weekend.
Yeah, and that's a really great point of leadership being understanding. And generally, in my experience, leadership is understanding of things like that. Normally, you can get some time off to recover if things are just super crazy. And of course, that's not to abuse it or anything like that, but there are definitely times where you just can't, you know, can't adult today, you know? So you just gotta take a break. You gotta take a breather. You gotta just sit on your couch and stare at the wall for half an hour because your mind is so frazzled. And Tyler was talking about the long hours. I know that there's people in the civilian sector that put in long hours too that are stressed out about their work. But seriously, it's no joke for military personnel that their mission is critical, and the stuff that they're dealing with is time sensitive, and there's lives at stake. And that is very mentally taxing whenever you think about that. We're speaking from our experiences at our unit. There are other units that have different demands that are harder in some respects, that might be lighter in other respects. We are not currently in a deployed environment where a lot of times they're working 7 days a week. Just very difficult demands. And we're not complaining about it. We signed up for this. We want to engage in this mission, and we are happy to do it. But the point we're trying to make here is that through all this harsh demand, both mentally and physically, you've got to take care of yourself. You can't just continue to expect others to pick up the slack for you. You can't just expect it just to get better on its own. You got to take time to take breaks, to do things that you enjoy. You know, just go out and see some place that you haven't been before. You know, enjoy some time in nature. If you're a gamer, take time for that. Whatever the case may be, just please relax. This is a really stressful season, and I hope that you're able to, amidst the busyness of the holidays, that you're able to take some time with your family. I know that part can be stressful for people as well. But please just take care of yourselves. From me and Tyler, I hope you have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year's. And this will conclude this episode of the Freedom Talks podcast. And as always, live free.